Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. I should like to thank WIPO for having invited me to take part on behalf of Save Creative and to present our project to you. I should also like to thank Camilo Rubiano for the report that he gave us on the private copyright registries, and we've collaborated with him on drafting the report. I should personally like to thank WIPO for the opportunity to be here. The moderator asked us to talk about our personal experiences, and I should like to begin with a very personal experience. And so I have asked for the help with of slides. I'm quite emotional, actually, of being here, quite excited to be here at WIPO, because 15 years ago, it's almost siesta time, so to stop you falling asleep, I should like to tell you a story. Once upon a time, a very long time ago, in 1996, this man was here with a little bit more hair at this table at the front of the room, signing Spain's accession to the Digital Treaties of WIPO, December 1996. Of course, it's a great, it's quite emotional actually being here 15 years later in this room. I'm no longer part of Spain's government, but I was heading up the IP office of the Spanish government at that time. In the last 15 years, an awful lot of things have happened. I shall summarize them. In the WIPO treaties in 96, there were two paths which were established for management of rights in the digital environment, one being DRMs, digital rights management, to restrict acts which are not authorized by the authors or permitted by law. The other path, which was established in the WIPO's digital treaties, in Article 12, was the rights management information. Information which identified the work, the author of the work, the holder of any right over the work, and information on the terms and conditions, in particular for licenses. And then we talked about identifying all this information with a number or a code. This information could not be removed. It belonged to the rights manager. So all these two paths over the past 15 years, well, lots of things have happened. The internet has, of course, developed. The path of DRMs has not triumphed. We've realized that actually even the European Commission, for example, had problems regarding the restrictions that these DRMs involved. However, information for management has triumphed. It's won the day. Thanks to traceability, this is the traceability of the internet. It allows us to trace any prints and of products. I mean, let me put the cow here, because it has ensured that there's been safeguards for food. You can guarantee the traceability of the product from the farm to the fork. And this has had an effect on our health systems, on our food systems, and I do think that this is a good guarantee. It's a good safeguard. And it's right that it should prevail in rights management systems. These are the basic pillars of rights management in the digital environment. I'd highlight the most important one, the vertical one, which we sometimes forget, and it's the very essence of intellectual property and the essence of rights management bodies, namely identification. Identification of the effective use of all works to be able to pay the rights holder what they're due. If we do not identify the effective use of the work, we don't know if we're paying what is due to the right people. Bodies which deal with rights management cannot forget their primary mission, which is that of identification. And to do so, it is we need information. Information is, of course, essential in this. Therefore, when we talk about, okay, information society, and from information society, the knowledge society, we talk about knowledge management as well. There is now the possibility, the capacity to identify the effective use of works on the internet, for example. Therefore, there is the possibility to manage and protect the content and rights. There's also the possibility that we have this capacity to identify the authors and holders of the works. And there's also that we have the possibility of having information on the terms and conditions of use. But this model, if this model is the only possible one to protect works, then we need a cornerstone of that model. And namely, this is a public registry, an online public registry, which is transparent and which contains works, authors, and rights holders. At the same time, this also needs to be a transparent, open public system, which includes the terms of use of licenses of these works. Because in the face of public registries, for example, the public registry that we have in Spain, it's not online, so it's not really public. And when we have systems that are digitalized, you have databases of rights management bodies, they're not necessarily accessible to the public, and neither the databases nor the licenses of these works. So the main functions which Safe Creative enables, which is the name of the online private registry, free private registry that I am here to present to you today, is that Safe Creative, it allows the registration and publication of the author and the rights holders of the work. And this is guaranteed through a system of various digital fingerprints and time stamping, digital hash prints. And this is evidence against third parties who might, some people might say, is this better or worse than a public registry? Because the public registry allows for evidence against, but ours is quite solid because it guarantees a date. Online as well. Registration and publication of terms and conditions of use, which are also transparent and public. All authors may register their works and say how they want to license them. We believe that the person that decides what they want to do with the work is the author. They can either license it with a copyright or a Creative Commons license, or a personalized license, and this allows them to change it. It could start out by being copyright, or it could move to being Creative Commons, or the reverse could be true as well. When we're managing these databases, we have to get used to this idea of consent, and the consent could be revoked at any time. People could change their minds; they're entitled to do so. So it's important to have a photo when a work is being used of what terms it's being licensed under. This may change, of course. Our system also allows for the issuing of certificates of authorship or ownership of the work to, when necessary, demonstrate that they are, in fact, the authors or the owners, in case of other evidence being or any alleged other authors or holders coming forward. We also issue certificates for reserve or withdrawal, rather, or transfer of rights, so that users can have the guarantee and legal security of conditions of use, so that nobody can refute their claims. So, in conclusion, Safe Creative is an intellectual property registry, both of authorship and of rights ownership. It's a private registry, voluntary, free, it's online, it's worldwide, it accepts all kinds of works from all countries, it's not national to any particular country, it's neutral, because it accepts all types of license, all types of management from individual management to self-management by the author themselves, individual management by a third party, a representative, an agent, to collective management by a collective management organization. It's a platform, therefore it's neutral and allows for all type of management. And the three functions which it fulfills are information pertaining to the works, the holders, and the authors, security with digital certificates that we've talked about, and it allows for self-management in the platform itself for authors and so on to register their works. But apart from the services that Safe Creative provides directly, it also, and I think this is the most important point, it also allows for collaboration with very many partners, both public and private. It's not specifically just for people to collaborate with one office or another, but there are agreements with various public registries. It also has an entry page for following registration in Safe Creative. You can ask for access to a public registry, but you have this proof with the timestamping that it recognizes the original rights that were recorded. So you have the date where you registered originally. So that's proof of your authorship. So we have possibilities to collaborate with public registries, management organizations, because some people are partners perhaps, and through the platform they can manage their rights online. And then I think the most important part is that people can collaborate with very many companies which are emerging through the internet and can identify the effective users of the works. But these tools need to be able to trace the works and the effective users against in a database. Management organizations do the work, they do the management work, but I think that collaboration and business models where companies might emerge from, they have to trace the identity and background of a work in a database, in a public registry that's open to everybody, and they need to show who the owners of these rights are. So I think, wrapping up then, private registries aren't competing with other registries, but rather collaborating with them, with collaborating with other databases, with management organizations. But it is important, and this is something that came up this morning as well, that the challenge now and the most important project of Safe Creative isn't the registry, it's that a standard, a benchmark is being set called semantic copyright to be able to talk among all the registries and all the databases. The future won't be a future of one single registry, but of many registries, but they need to be able to talk to each other, they need to be able to communicate, and they need to be interoperable. Thank you very much for listening.